Welcome to another Late Night with Bursts. I'm here with Liana.
Hello.
And this time we're going to talk about our trip to Ibiza.
Yeah, it was very nice.
It was very nice, very lush. But anyone who like really follows us probably knows that we have like a little break. Well, Easter break, so if you saw like rundown on some of the shows, don't worry, we were on break. Everything's back to normal now. But as part of that break, the first little bit of it, Liana and I went to Ibiza in Spain. And yeah, when we first got there, what was your first impression? Because mine was a little like,
Yeah, when we arrived there, we saw that the city was very empty because of the Easter. That was in the week of the Easter and everything was closed. And I thought like it was maybe a ghost town. It was a bit weird. What was your impression?
Yeah, it was the first day was, I just kind of left it as, okay, they're having their rest time. Like everything will be back and lively by tonight. Little did I know it was just kind of that area that we were staying in, Playa de Mendoza, that was like pretty much shut down for like a while. Because then the next day we woke up and we tried to go to the beach and there was literally not a soul there. And the resorts were closed, the bars were closed, the shops were closed, everything was closed. And it was kind of like we had woken up and we were the only people who woke up that day. It was really kind of weird.
Yeah, we stopped at the Hard Rock Hotel and the doors were closed with like cards, boards, whatever. It looks like they were going to demolish everything. It was really weird.
Yeah, everything was boarded up. Like they were like prepping for like the worst storm they'd seen or something. Yeah, so that was really strange. But then, luckily, out of, you know, just a miracle, we found this one place that was open. Well, they weren't really open, but they had their doors open and there were people in there. It was like, yay, people. And luckily, they were nice enough to call us a taxi and we ended up in town center. And then we found where all the people were.
Yeah. Not that much, but there were people there.
There were people there.
And we did some shopping. It was very nice.
Yeah. Spent some money. Now I need to make up for it.
Yeah, but one thing that I also thought was weird is that the public transport in there is a bit different. We had to take a cab a lot, and the buses, they had weird timetables.
Yeah, some of them pretty much only ran, like, really early in the a.m. and then maybe around lunchtime, and then when people come home. So it was, like, pretty much dedicated to working people. It wasn't dedicated to the tourists. Which I think we went during off-season, which we did on purpose, because we're college students, we're uni students, so we're balling on a budget, and we got really good deals for the time. I have a feeling everything, including cab fares, would have been a lot more expensive had we gone during peak season. But, yeah. But town center was really nice. Like, the marina was really pretty, and the architecture was really pretty.
Yeah. It was a bit old, the old part of the city where, besides the shops and everything, they had this cliff with a church on it and lots of cool bars and little restaurants around.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
It was very cute, yeah. Have you been to other areas of Spain or was that it?
I've been to Madrid before with my parents. It's very different, I think.
That's exactly, yeah, because I've been to, with my family, went to Madrid, Sevilla, and Marbella. And then I went to Barcelona with a friend. And they're all kind of different in their own way, of course, as each city is. But they kind of have this very distinct Spanish influence. And I saw a little bit of that in Ibiza, but to me, it almost reminded me of what New Mexico is like, which my grandparents used to live there. So I used to visit there a lot. And you said part of it reminded you to where you're from.
Yeah, I think that the nature there, especially the way the trees, they are very, they have like weird shapes and very dry place. I don't know. It really reminded me of home, especially. Sorry, cool.
Was that nice or was it kind of like, oh, I miss home?
Yeah, it was a bit, but I'm getting used to be far from home, so.
Yeah. No, it's all good. We're all growing. But yeah, no, it was great weather. It was much warmer, which was nice. It was a nice change of pace. I mean, I know you in particular are all about the warm weather. I like my cold, but I finally have had my cold winter. It didn't snow, which I'm really kind of sad about. I would have liked one snow. But I'm glad that, like, it was a proper winter.
Yeah.
I needed that. I'm not, even though I grew up in the warm like you, I get tired of the hot very easily. I need cold to get me prepped for the hot again.
Yeah, but the weather when we went there, it was very nice. It was warm, but we still had to wear a light coat.
Yeah, it wasn't perfect, like, bikini weather at all.
Yeah.
It would get windy a lot.
And the water was freezing, the water on the sea.
Yes. Yeah, we actually did. We went to Talamanca, which there was some people there and some restaurants that were hopping. So that was kind of nice to see. And so, yeah, we actually got to, like, spend some time on the beach, which was very nice. But the water was very cold. And when the breeze came by, it was very cold.
Yeah.
I still think I got a little bit of color, though. It's probably faded by now, but I swear I got, like, the tiniest bit of color.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But that's probably because I was outside for, like, a little bit. It's been, yeah.
Yeah. It was nice. We were just standing on the beach, like, the whole afternoon, just lazy, just enjoying the beach. And there were people there. Some of them were playing those, how do you call the...
It was like ping pong, but without a table, almost.
Yeah, that beach ping pong, kind of like, and there were lots of dogs, too. There was especially that fat bulldog that was so cute.
I was just about to bring up the dogs. We saw lots of dogs. Yeah. Everyone had a dog.
It was very nice.
It seemed like the culture of the town. And I know I consider myself an animal lover. I didn't know the true meaning of how that could, like, materialize until I met you. Because, yeah, you were, like, the aspiration of what an animal lover, if you want to attain the highest level, that is you.
Oh, that's great. That's good.
No, but every time we saw a dog, which was, like, probably every 30 seconds, we had to, like, stop and...
Like, oh my god, so cute.
Yeah. There was one time, because you have two pugs at home, which I'm sure you miss very much.
I do.
Yeah. The pictures and videos just don't satisfy. I know the feeling. But there was a pug that was, like, down an alley. It was shaded. There was no light. There was no way you could even see this dog. You could only see its, like, outline, its silhouette. And it was walking. And you stop and you're like, oh my god, it's a pug. And I'm like, where? I'm looking around. I have no idea where this pug is. And you stop and we're just sitting there waiting and it comes out of light. And I'm like, oh my god, how did she know?
Yeah, I recognize because of the shape of the tail and because of the way it was walking. I think pugs have this very characteristic way of walking, like, kind of because they're fat. So they just like to move their hips a lot. Yeah, and I was right. It was a pug.
It was a pug. You were dead on.
Yeah.
Dead on. There weren't a lot of pugs, though.
Yeah. Even here in Bournemouth, I don't see many pugs.
Yeah. It's not the most common dog of the... It wasn't the most common dog in Ibiza, at least.
What was the most common dog there? I don't remember.
I'm not sure.
Hmm.
There were a lot of dogs, though. They were everywhere.
Yeah.
Fat ones, tiny ones, big ones... They were, yeah, big fluffy ones with lots of hair, which I think, oh my gosh, when it gets summer, hopefully they trim your hair off or else you're going to be dying.
Yeah.
Because it gets hot.
But well, speaking of dogs, we also have this amazing tour, this walk. We walked like 10 kilometers.
Yeah.
With a guide tour that she's from Manchester.
And
she brought her three dogs. It was very nice.
It was really nice. We got to just have time with nature, time with animals. And then she was really nice as well, because I didn't know, when we signed up for the tour, I didn't know what to expect. But yeah, since she was previously from England, I could understand her perfectly. And she could understand us perfectly. And yeah, it was really nice. But I liked it a lot because we actually went up into the mountains. Well, I don't know that they're actually mountains, but hills. And we could see off the cliffs. We could see the ocean. I mean, it was beautiful. And she gave a lot of information about the actual stuff that was there. Like, we went foraging. I mean, not properly. It's not like we took the herbs or plants home and went, okay, now we're going to make dinner out of this. But she would show it to us and kind of tell us some of the properties. And there were some things that I didn't know that they had this property. So it was just kind of neat to think about how people would have lived back then and all the resources that you would have had.
Yeah, I think it's very nice. I really admire people that go to the nature and they know everything about the plants, how to survive in a forest or something like that, because I know absolutely nothing about this. And it's really interesting how she stopped and see this flower in particular and say like, oh, this one is good for put on the food and everything. This one is poisonous. It's very nice.
Yeah, it was interesting though, because there was only one thing that was poisonous on the whole island. Yeah. But it was like, it looks like an onion root, so, you know, if you go to Ibiza and you plan on foraging, double check your onions, that's all I'm saying, because, you know, you might get the poison.
Yeah, but it was a very nice walk. We had the opportunity to visit the town center that was very urban, but we also saw the countryside, and we saw the sea, like, super dark blue, super, like, it was very nice.
Yeah, I think that's a nice part about being on an island, is because you're, like, you're literally in the middle of the ocean, so you get the best water. Like, I know, where I grew up in Houston, Galveston is quite close, which is an island, but since it's so, it's, like, not really an island, I mean, it technically is, but since it's so close, and since it's in the Gulf of Mexico, the water is disgusting.
Oh.
And so it's, like, brown and murky, but people still go, and we still swim in it, like, it's fine. I don't know why. Galveston isn't my favorite. The town is really cute. The town's super cute. But the water is really gross. So when you see something like that, where it's actually, it's an island out in the ocean, and you just get this clear, beautiful, deep blue water, because you're, you know, the water gets deep very quickly off an island.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah.
I'm from Brasilia, and it's really in the middle of the country, so we don't have sea, but the closest thing we have to water is an artificial lake that they built there. It's very nice, it's very beautiful, but it's a different sensation when we go and see the vast ocean and stuff. It's, I don't know, like, I don't think I would like to live in a place with the beach, because I think that the fact that I don't see the ocean that much, and when I see it, I get more impressed than if I go to see it every day. I don't know.
But you live in a beach town.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah. But Bournemouth, I don't know, it doesn't have this kind of beach style to it. I don't know.
It doesn't. You're right. You're 100% correct. Because when I was in my late teens, probably to real early 20s, like maybe 20, 21, I really liked the idea of just like being a beach bum for a while and like moving somewhere like Ibiza or Hawaii or just somewhere where I could just live out my youth and just have fun and not worry about getting the perfect job or building up your retirement fund or, you know, not stress, just kind of go with the flow and have this fun lifestyle. But, you know, my life kind of had other plans, and I'm very happy. I'm very happy to be here today and here with you. I'm glad you chose this life too. But
oh.
That still sounds really nice. Like, every time I get to go on those vacations, it's kind of just refreshing. But when I'm in Bournemouth, like, I forget that the beach even exists, and there's definitely not that kind of, like you said, it doesn't have that beach bum style. Like, I think it's because it's not warm most of the time, so I don't see people just, like, running around in bikini tops or, you know.
Yeah, but I've heard that Bournemouth in the summer is a very touristic point in England.
Yes, it's very touristy. It's, like, one of the top tourist spots for summer.
So maybe in the summer we'll see people here. Let's see.
Well, yeah, I'm excited to see the people. It'll just be interesting if, like, you start going into, like, restaurants and people are wearing their bikini tops and stuff. That's when I'll be like, oh, this is a different side to Bournemouth than I've ever seen before. Not sure how I feel about it.
Oh, my God.
But no, I think it'll be okay. But yeah, if you've noticed, because I was just with a friend, and she has family in Bournemouth, and we were talking about the sightseeing tours because where she lives in London is right near where all the buses park. And so we happened to see them. We were talking about them. And I was like, oh, you know, Bournemouth doesn't have those. And then she's like, well, Bournemouth's really touristy. And I was like, well, yeah, no, I know it is in summer. And then, of course, as soon as I get back, I see the city sightseeing, not that we're promoting them or anything, but that's the one tour company that I've seen driving around with their buses. And I'm like, oh, God, it's already starting.
Oh.
So, yeah, we do have them. So maybe one day, maybe for this, maybe for Late Night with Burst, we'll go, we'll hop on a tour bus and we'll take a tour of Bournemouth and Poole.
That would be interesting.
It would be interesting. We could learn all the history. Because I'm sure there's loads of history here. We just don't care about it because we're too busy.
But I think it's interesting because I think Bournemouth is also, like, I think the majority of people that live here are, like, elderly people. So I don't know. I think it has a lot of history here that those people have to, they can't tell. I don't know.
Well, I think it's kind of like Florida is to the States. It's where people retire.
Mm.
And, I mean, I get it. I totally get it. You didn't get to be the beach bum when you were a kid, so now you're going to retire and go be a beach bum in your last days. I totally get it. So I see that attraction. But I think that's kind of what happens. It's like people live out their life and then they go, I don't want to live in the big city anymore. I don't want to, I just want to, like, be carefree again. So they move out to the beach.
Yeah, like this stereotypical vision that I have of retired people in Miami, for example. They are those very white people, but red from the sun, and with those floral shirts and walking around. It was so funny.
Playing shuffleboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very, like... But when I went there, I actually saw those people. It's very funny.
Yeah. It's very interesting because you see a very young crowd. I think it's very similar to here because the university obviously brings in a lot of population. So you see very young people, and then you see very, you know, older people. They're not very old, they're just older. And so, and in comparison to the kids that are running around, it's a big age gap. And yeah, it's just, it's so funny because I think in those stages, like, of life, you're kind of sometimes in the same boat. I think you kind of go in a circle. It's like, obviously, when you're a child, you're very dependent. And you kind of need your parents' guidance to help mold you into a civilized person and, you know, not be a total jerk. And then you kind of get to the point where you're starting to figure it out by yourself, but nothing's perfect. Then you're kind of just, like, out on your own. And it's still not going to be perfect, but you just have to kind of figure it out. And then you might be raising kids of your own. But then you get to the age where maybe you need that help again. Because maybe you're starting to either be a little, you're starting to think that you're above it all, whether it's age or whatever. And then it really starts to regress and it becomes that point where you've had that independence, so you don't want to give it up.
Yeah.
But you probably should for your own safety and health. It's very interesting. So I think, yeah, because we have people who are on that brink of adulthood, and then we have the people who are on the brink of coming off of adulthood. So we're all kind of in the same boat, but just with a really big age gap.
Yeah, I think there is this midlife crisis, but also this 20-year-old life crisis. It's very, yeah.
Yeah, probably so. Well, yeah, when you're in your 20s, you're having to learn how to be an adult, which I think can be really challenging.
It is, a lot.
Yes. Don't adult, it's a trap. Yes, growing up is a complete trap.
But well... So, well, just coming back to Ibiza, how do you think about the food?
I was just going to ask you that. here we go. The tables have turned. I miss it. Mm. It was so fresh.
Yeah.
I think part of that, too, is so, because, I mean, obviously, the food here is much better than it is in the States because they have stricter laws. So the produce that I get is better. And having the food allergies that I have and the dietary restrictions that I have, a lot of the times I eat fairly healthy, even if it's not that healthy, but I have to get my own ingredients and make my own stuff to make sure it doesn't have whatever I can't have. So I make things pretty fresh, which is nice, but when you don't have to make it yourself, that's even better.
Yeah.
And part of it, yeah, I still think some of their stuff was even fresher. And I think part of that probably comes from being an island. Like, some stuff they may have to have imported, but they probably try to do a lot of it. I don't know, what did you think about the food?
I think it was very good. When we were at the Talamanca beach, I asked for this fish. It took a while to come, the food. It took a while for them to bring it to me. But when it came, like, it was very fresh fish. It really looked like they went to the sea and fish it and put it on my plate.
I was so jealous. I love fish. I love fish. It's one of the more recent things that I've had to give up, which has been a hard transition. But I know, because every time you go to, like, a beach town or somewhere that's close to the coast, they have the best fish because it's so fresh. So I knew it was going to be... I was so jealous when you ordered that. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Oh.
I want the fish.
Yeah, but besides the seafood, we also had some Italian, some very, very different things. And they're all very great.
Yeah.
I think that this restaurant in particular that we went, like, the last one... It was a kind of natural, vegan, vegetarian.
Yeah, it was actually a recommendation of the hiking guide that
yeah. I went to. What was the name? It was like Passion something.
Passion. It was called Passion Cafe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a bit pricey, but they had like loads of options. Very, very cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed. It was something that I noticed just kind of throughout my travels. Because then after Ibiza, I went to Italy with my family, which was lovely. But I think because, like, fit is kind of becoming the new thing. Everybody wants to get fit. Everyone wants to get healthy. Everyone wants to eat better. It's just a trend. There's always a new fad diet, whether you want to be... And I'm not taking out people who need to eat that way, because obviously I'm one of those people. I need to eat a certain way. But whether you're vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, whatever, those fads are kind of coming in, and I benefit from that greatly. So thank you, people who do all that, because you make my life so much easier. I thought I was going to struggle to find foods, and I didn't. Like, places like that, they had plenty of options that I could eat, where I didn't have to sit there and say, okay, I need to take out this, and I need to take out this, and I need to take... Or just order a plain garden salad, which I have to do sometimes. That was really nice. And then there was another place that was vegan and vegetarian friendly that we went to a couple of times, actually, that they had smoothies that were really good. And I mean, I loved it too, because like everything that they made right then. It wasn't sitting waiting for you to order it. It was made when you order, which it took a long time to make, but
yeah,
it was so fresh.
It was the little frog.
The little, yeah, it was a cute name.
And I remember that when we were there having dinner, that was playing in the TV, the wrestling.
Yeah, they were playing, well, it wasn't WrestleMania, but they were like counting down the days to WrestleMania. It was WWE Raw. I know, I freaked out because I was like, you've never seen WWE?
Yeah, it was very cool.
But... Yeah, it was the only end of it though, so it's kind of sad because we watched like one match and then it was over. We probably missed all the good stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'll have to check it out. WWE is just a whole world onto its own. Even if you don't become a fan, it's just kind of like something to look at. Because it's a culture. I mean, there's, like, a WWE wrestling culture. Their fans are crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It is. I grew up watching that stuff. So, it's just, we all have, like, our wrestling characters. I still like yours. It's Puglicious.
Oh, yeah. It's my pink jacket.
Yeah.
With some Swarovski on it.
Yeah. I think it should be like a pink pleather jacket with like a pug on the back.
Oh my god, yes.
But it's that like fuzzy material, so if you like touch it, you feel like the fuzz coming off of it.
Yeah, we should totally do a wrestling team with the radio people.
We should. If I was still doing fashion design, I would waste my time making those costumes. But I'm not. And so I won't. But in my mind, it'll be real. In my mind, it's very real. So, did you enjoy your trip to Ibiza?
Yeah, it was very nice. It was very relaxing. I think we got, even though everything was closed and there was that many people in the streets, we got to see the best parts of it. It was, I really like it. It was
very nice. I did too. Did you enjoy the rest of your break, though? I think is what's more important.
Yeah, I stayed home, watched some Netflix, read a book, played some games. I love RPG. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. Role-playing games, yeah.
And now I have a lot of stuff to do for Burst.
Yeah. I know. I, like, It was interesting. There was one day where I was tuning into my own show, which I don't always do, but it was one of the Midnight Metals. Not that I'm plugging that here, but go check out all Burst shows because they're all amazing, including this one. And yeah, it was like a page and like my name was on there a lot with a lot of my shows. And I was like, oh gosh. But I think it was just cause yeah, like I worked really hard to get in everything or make sure I could do stuff to get those shows out when they were supposed to go out. Which was really tiring, but I did it and now I'm having to do it again, but I'm back on schedule. Which is nice. I didn't come back from break realizing I had all this stuff to do, but yeah, it was nice because I got to just relax and enjoy my break. Although when I was in Italy, It wasn't that relaxing, which I didn't think it would be because it was very, you know, there's a lot to see. There's a lot to do. Of course, every day you're going to want to go out. You're going to want to see everything that you can possibly see. And since we divided our time between Florence and Rome, there was a lot to do in those days, so there wasn't really that much time for rest. And then I'm pretty sure I was, like, allergic to Rome.
Really?
Because when I got there, yeah, like, I just couldn't stop sneezing, and my parents thought I was sick, and I was like, I feel fine, I just...
Oh,
and
my
then
God.
As soon as I got back, it was like, poof.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm fine, yeah. So, obviously, I don't know, there was something in the air in Rome that my body didn't like, which is sad, because I really liked it, it was pretty. But, yeah. Yeah. Didn't have that problem in Ibiza. Ibiza was fine.
I was in Rome at like 8 years ago and I really loved it. I would definitely go back there. I think Italy, everything is very historical. I love to see historical things and
yeah.
It was very nice.
Well, it was like, yeah, it was the home of the empire, the Roman Empire. Like that's, well, obviously Rome is where it started, but I mean, it was so much bigger than Italy. It was bigger than, you know, some of it reached to the UK, which is crazy.
We have the Bath City.
Exactly. The Roman baths, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. But yeah, I definitely have to go back. It's been added to my bucket list if it wasn't there before, because all that was really pretty. I've always wanted to go to Venice. We didn't get to do that. I'd love to see that. I mean, it's just, where else are you going to see that? It's the only city it's the water city.
Yeah, I've been there. It's very nice.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that romantic as they say, but it's very beautiful.
How old were you when you went, though?
I was 16.
Yeah. I feel like if you were, like, 30, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it's more romantic for adults, not, like, teen romantic.
Yeah. I would think so. Anyways.
But what really impressed me in Venice was the masks they have for the carnivals there. They have, like, loads of little shops with those masks everywhere. Very yeah. nice.
I saw that kind of throughout Italy, which I really enjoyed because anyone that's, like, kept up with my stuff on Burst knows I'm a big fan of New Orleans. It's probably my favorite city in the whole United States.
Oh.
And that's something that they have there because obviously, like, with Mardi Gras and just their culture, in the French culture, you can find them in a lot of the shops and they're so beautiful. And I've always wanted to start collecting them. I don't know why, but since I don't have the money, I don't have the space, I can't. But now I know Italy has them too because I saw them there and they were so pretty. And it just reminded me again that I want to start collecting them. So hopefully, when I get a job and I have some money and I have a place to be able to, you know, like, hang them up on the walls and stuff, I can start collecting them. But
yeah,
for now, I'll stick to rubber ducks because I collect those.
Oh, so cute.
Actually, my mom, she got me Cinco de Mayo ducks.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're the whole string group of, like, a typical mariachi band.
Oh,
yeah, they're so cute.
That's so cool.
I know. It was my Easter present. Not really. I don't know. But yeah, I have them for, like, a lot of the holidays. And I have a feeling, like, when I'm really broke, those will be my decorations. I'll just put out different ducks for different. I'll be like, it's Christmas. I have a Santa duck out. That counts. But yeah, since she felt back, she knew people here probably wouldn't be celebrating Cinco de Mayo like they do in the States. Yeah, she got me the Cinco de Mayo ducks, so aww. I can have those. So it's the only ducks that I actually have with me here in Bournemouth, because I left my collection back at home, because I figured it'd be more important to bring things like shoes and clothes and my computer and things like that to Bournemouth instead of rubber ducks. But now I have some in Bournemouth, so it'll be... Oh, it's very nice.
Nice.
Yeah, they're very cute. Do you collect anything?
Not really.
No?
No.
I don't know why. I guess I have that personality trait. So I like collecting things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why rubber ducks, but I think it's because I had rubber ducks when I was a little kid. I didn't think that I did, but I found out that I did. And so maybe that was it, because I used to have them when I was little. And then I think my mom said I had like a rubber duck themed bathroom or something like that.
Oh!
So that might have been where it came from. I'm just obsessed. But it's a good one because it's cheap. It's not expensive.
Yeah.
The ducks are very inexpensive. And most of the time I get them like for holidays. I usually get them as gifts now. So I don't even have to buy them. But I'm sure other people are grateful because it's not like I'm sitting here like half the kids today who are like, I want the new iPhone and a Nintendo DS and this. And it's like, no, I just want a rubber duck.
You go like to Amazon and you see this limited edition of collector's rubber duck from 1800s. And you're like, I need to have this rubber duck.
That would be really interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what a rubber duck from the 1800s would look like. Would it actually be a rubber duck, or would it be like a metal duck that they used to put in their baths?
I don't know.
For children. But then they realized that the children ate the metal and that was really bad.
Maybe.
Oh,
in medieval times they used like wood ducks or something.
Wooden ducks, yeah. I could actually see that. Wooden duck. I should investigate that. I don't know that I'd want them though, because I only want rubber ducks. But it'd be interesting to look at. We shall find out. Well, yeah. I had a great trip. I'm so glad that we went. We'll have to do it again. You're kind of my little travel buddy now.
Aww.
So,
yeah.
Hopefully. There's a few more things that like I have that I'd want to do, but who knows? We'll see if we have the funds and the time.
Yeah.
We can make it happen.
Do you have like another destination that you'd like to go?
Next one I want to go to is Prague,
because
that's a big one I want to do, and it's like one of the cheaper places to go. I think now's the time to go with everything that's going on in the world.
Yeah,
because I think there's just a lot of problems that are kind of starting all over Europe, really, but I think there's a lot of yuckiness in the world, and so I think I think it's gonna be unsafe to go to certain places after a while, but I don't know. Hopefully we'll get it under control soon.
Yeah.
It's sad. I like to think about it.
Yeah.
Move on to happier things. But yeah, that is some place I want to go. So I'm hoping we can find a long weekend, where we can fit that in. I know there's some other members from the birth group that were interested when I first mentioned Prague way, way back.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I mean, it's a destination I've wanted to go to since I got here at least. But yeah, I've seen pictures and stuff and it's just so pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be also interesting to go to Ireland and visit Sarah's place.
Yeah, I really want to go back to Ireland so I can go to the Jameson Distillery, which I think near Cork, which isn't, and it's just near Dublin. It's like it's another big city in Ireland. But yeah, I really want to go to the Jameson Distillery because we did the Guinness Brewery. Even though I'm not supposed to drink beer. But Guinness is really good. So that was one nice thing. Because my dad, which obviously in Italy, Guinness isn't the like hoppin' beer of choice. But there were a few places that offered it. So every time he would get it, because I kind of got him hooked on it. So when he gets it, I can have a sip of it without dying. But I can't really have more than that. And so it was so nice because he would order it and I'd be like, can I have a sip, please? Whereas I think for everyone here it's like too expensive. They always get the cheaper pints and I'm like, I don't want that. I'm not wasting a headache on that. Kidding me?
Yeah.
I want Guinness. Go away. So good. Do you drink beer at all?
No, I think it's too bitter. I prefer cider.
That makes sense. That's fine. I can accept that. Do you like, what's your favorite cider? Like what flavor?
Strawberry and lime.
That is interesting. I don't think I've ever even... I mean, I've heard of it, but yeah, it's not most common.
Oh, yeah. It's my favorite.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I think apple's probably the most common, which obviously I can't have.
Yeah.
Well, I can't really have cider anyways, but there is pear cider. So I'm like, if I'm not trying to kill myself, I would have a sip of pear cider over apple cider.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For anyone listening, to like catch you up on all this, I'm allergic to apples, like really allergic. Like, I'd probably go to the hospital if I had an apple right now. I'm also really, really allergic to yeast, which they use in certain... Well, they use in all alcohols. Some they take them out, some they leave them in. Beer and cider happens to be some of the ones that they leave the yeast in. So, no bueno for Allison over here.
Oh.
But yeah. It's always interesting because I usually order a G&T, gin and tonic. That's kind of my go-to drink because it's usually not crazy expensive. And I like it. And you can get the diet tonics are more popular here than they are in the States. And they're less carbonated. And since I don't drink a lot of carbonated drinks, I like that better. I'm not doing it because I'm like, oh, I'm on a diet. Like, alcohol is where the calories is, not your tonic water. Let's get that straight.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I prefer the less carbonated, so I like ordering them here because most of the time you can get the diet tonics, which is really nice. But, yeah, then I always get that, like, I got hooked on it mostly because the last time I was here, the girls I work with, they kind of got me all hooked on it. And then... So now every time I say it, usually one of the British girls is like, oh, I'm on a G&T. That's a good idea. So.
Yeah.
It's always funny, but yeah. So lots of fun things discussed. I mean, drinking, that's fun. If you do it responsibly, I don't think it's fun when it's irresponsible. Some people do, but I don't.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you have to know yourself to see what's your limit.
Yeah. I agree.
I think as long as you don't do anything stupid, it's fine.
Yeah. That was another thing in Ibiza, though. We didn't... Well, there wasn't a big party scene because it wasn't, like, party time. But we didn't do that at all. I mean, we just enjoyed relaxing, really.
Yeah.
There were some times where we just, like, went home and chilled out and were, like, already in pajamas by, like, 8 p.m.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
We watched some Netflix as well.
There was better movies there. I want to get them back.
Aww.
I didn't have time to watch them all. No, it's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was a great overall break, great overall trip. We relaxed. We had good food. We saw cute puppies. We saw the beach. And we relaxed, caught up on Netflix. Overall, great topics and a great break.
Yeah.
Yay. So welcome back, everyone. We're back. And
yeah,
it's going to be good.
Woo.
We just got to get back in the mojo.
Yeah.
But yeah. Do you have any ideas of what would be good for future late night with Bruce? Any activities you're keen to try?
I still think we have to do a late night regarding Mean Girls, the movie.
Yeah, I've got that. I just need to schedule everything and get us in.
Or maybe, I don't know, we should play a game together and do a late night about a game. I don't know.
You do like a murder mystery.
Yeah, I really wanted to do that.
Yeah. I wonder we should look up if there's any restaurants around that do like murder mystery dinners. And we can go to one and then we can talk about it afterwards. That would be fun.
Yeah.
I'll look into it. All right. Well, it's been fun. I won't keep you any longer. But yeah. It was nice chatting with you and chatting with everyone else. Hopefully you had as much fun getting off topic as we did.
Yeah. So see you next time.
Yay!